Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to 3RingRadio.com. With Shane, you better stay tuned.
Out of the darkness of our past, out of the visions of our childhood, comes the one fear we thought we left behind. The one nightmare we hoped had gone away. But the evil we once invited in has found its way back home.
Hey, motherfuckers, you listen to Three Ring Radio, so fuck you.
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
Okay, fuck you. How's that?
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you! God!
Hey, fuck you, man!
Fuck you!
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Well, fuck you.
Fuck off, you donkey-raping shit-eater.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what'll I make you?
Good?
You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Me, I don't have that problem. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie. The last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
Visit the website at Mike Hunts on Fire.
What?
Oh, God.
Dot com.
No.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, Mike Hunts on Fire.
That's the website.
Dot com.
Jackie's very upset that he didn't think of that first.
Jackie thought he owned that.
Y'all are killing me.
Ah, that's funny.
Guest is William H. Kennedy. Is Kennedy your last name?
Kennedy.
I'm joking. It's a joke. You won't. You would last show. You wouldn't give me
you
any.
Know, Kennedy is actually spelt about 12 different ways.
Ah, is that the hint?
Yes.
Are you giving me a hint that you're not? I see. So
many. It's a very common Scottish and Irish name.
On the last week's episode of Three Ring Radio, I had you on, and we were talking about your book, Lucifer's Lodge, and that's...
Right, you can get it at lucifer'slodge.net if anyone's interested in buying it.
And you also have a website, William H. Kennedy, spelled, how's that spelled? Two N's, right?
Yeah, KENNEDY.com, and it is at, it's a webpage, there's a lot of free radio real player interviews.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of free articles.
Okay.
And there's stuff you can buy stuff, and I...
So you're a professional.
I am a professional.
A professional huckster?
Professional writer, you know. If you look on my webpage, I got interested in other religions when I was a very little kid. I used to watch the Hercules cartoon.
Right.
And then I became a real big fan. Remember In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy?
No. Yeah, I like that show. That's good.
That got me real interested in religion and writing about religion.
That's on your webpage. And you know what? I'm just teasing you because last week, I think your book is, it seems entertaining, the little bit I've read of it. But it also angers me up that there's not a lot of, and we split hairs on this most of the show last time, that I don't think there's a lot to back up a lot of this stuff. And so you should listen to last week's show, because I don't want to go over that too much. I mean...
Okay, sure, that's fine.
Right? We talked about it for a good chunk of time.
Sure.
We left off talking about the Process Church.
Right. Now, the Process Church, which we were talking about last week... you're saying that they were not... You were saying that they were not involved in nefarious activity.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I am researching that. And you know what? As I've dealt with them, I'd love to find that out. It sounds like such a great story, and I'd like to have... But when I look at Maury Terry's claims, and you know, it tears me apart. It's like I'm in the middle. I'm on the fence with this shit. But I'm not on either side, so I don't think any side has something solid where I can be on their side. Even Maury Terry, where he's given his whole life to this stuff, it seems. He's given a big chunk of his life.
And his money to the OTO.
Why is that?
Well, he got sued, you know.
Oh, that's nice. I'd like to hear that, but he's dedicated...
Maury got sued?
No, but he's dedicated his life to this kind of stuff, and that's what I'm saying. So that makes him sort of believable, but you know what? P.T. Barnum dedicated his life to the circus as well. And what did he say? There's a sucker born every minute?
He also got a professor at Harvard to verify many of his specimens.
And who's this? P.T. Barnum?
P.T. Barnum did, yeah.
Okay.
P.T. Barnum had a lot of legitimate things.
Sure.
Professor Agassiz of the Peabody Museum at Harvard to verify and debunk what he's done. And P.T. Barnum, I admire him for the fact that, you know, he let people look at both sides of an issue. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. Most people rejected most of his specimens.
It's part of the circus.
Well, you know, you could argue everything in our society is one big circus.
Right, and when there's a sucker born every minute, there could be a sucker for hire. You know, you could pay any one of these people to say anything.
Well, I mean... I guess the Boston Globe must have paid a lot of people.
I don't know what they did. I don't care about the Boston Globe. I'm talking about your stuff.
Well, that's where I draw my sources from. See, as a researcher, you usually look for legitimate sources like newspapers like the Globe.
The Globe, those stories change throughout the thing. They're not a book. It's not a book. I can look back on the history of John Wayne Gacy and probably, you know, any of these people and hear different stories from different times. You know and I know that's just simple fact. In conspiracy lore, even you, if you listen to the first couple of hours, you'll hear the real story. And after that, the story changes. Yeah, because the story's fucking developing in front of your eyes. It's not that much. I don't not believe in conspiracies, but there's so many of them. It really, you know, like the conspiracies of Timothy McVeigh, you know, they take away from the heroics of someone like that.
Well, I wouldn't call Tim a hero.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Maybe some would. I'm on the fence about that one too. But so the Process Church and I dealing with them. I think they're a bunch of rich, trust fund, assholes. I have no respect for anything they've done, but still, I can't really. I'm on the fence with it. I can't believe.
I charge them with no crime in my book.
I've
never said they molested any children.
Yeah, you sort of said they recruit children for the molesters.
No, I said there was a Catholic priest named Father Paul Shanley who moved in the same circles they did, and they shared information according to my confidential sources, which you don't seem to want to believe.
Right, and they also, well, we'll talk about them anyway. I don't believe them. That's just my thing. You know, but you can spout off your rhetoric all day long. If someone's going to believe it or not, that's cool. It's just going to be like that. As you prompt in your book, you want it to spark debate. That's part of your circus.
No,
that's
no,
what's
going to... In that sense, my book is successful because we're debating.
Right, and you're selling books. And you're selling books. And I do. I like the circus. I like the entertainment, but I take it as entertainment. It's like when I go to McDonald's. I understand that's not really food. It's like entertainment.
Oh, I see. So you're one of these people that doesn't like books and doesn't like writers getting paid for writing books.
No, I love them.
You just don't like books.
No.
You're a publisher who doesn't like books.
Well, you know, that's like a Hitler thing.
Yeah. For free and things
I'm a frustrated writer, I guess. That's what publishers are. As writers are frustrated publishers. By
the way, people have some nice things on your stuff to sell. I might even buy that there's a book on the occult. The Nazis and the occult.
Which one, Might is Right?
That you're selling on your webpage.
Might is Right?
No, it was one, it was something about Hitler and the SS or something.
I don't know.
It was a group of SS stuff. I think it was on your page.
Something like that. Well, I have some...
Different batches of stuff that you sell for money and use to live on, like I live on the money from my book.
But I have no problem with that. I just have to, I have a different definition for it. That's always... I think your book is interesting. I never said it was bad. I never even said it was poorly written. So you know, I'm not critiquing you as a writer. I'm not saying you're not a writer. I'm saying I don't know if you have a true journalistic bulldog ethics with... You just can't... You can't... You got to dig in and you got to really break the story, not just, you know, report on the story. You know,
You know where I'm going to, like, do some extra digging and some interviews you can even see?
What?
Is that, as I said last week... The book has been opted for a documentary by Global Vision Films of New York City and Danny Schechter, a two-time Emmy Award winner. We're actually going to look into some of these.
But I'm going to watch that, just like I'm reading your book. So, you know, I'm all into it. I'm just, it's a different definition. You try to pigeonhole me into saying something I'm not, which is not right, but whatever. I like I said, I just see it as entertainment.
You know what? You're actually helping me with the film because the criticisms you're making are things I will address in the film.
Well, good. Maybe you'll have me on the DVD extras.
You know what? Maybe we're kind of looking for a Satanist to be the counter guy.
I wouldn't call myself a Satanist.
Okay, a person who does not subscribe to the theory given.
Yeah, that I'll take.
Okay.
We are,
in fact, looking for someone to give that side of it.
Yeah, that I'll take. But back to what I'm saying, I don't like the people of the Process Church or anything I've seen about them. I think they're arrogant, and I think they're funny, just like I think a clown's funny. They look like clowns in the capes. They look like clowns in the uniform. They look like clowns. I think all that stuff's funny.
Well, you know, the big thing about my book is you know, it's really about the systemic rape of children.
Right.
In that sense, it's probably, it's arguably, now I'm going to make a big claim that you can tear apart. It's arguably a book on the most horrible subject ever written about. I will make that broad claim. My book is the most horrible subject ever written about.
You know, I'm not going to rip it apart. That's just your opinion. Just like, you know, that color blue is the nicest blue I've ever seen. You know, I can go all day long on that. I just want to. I want to talk process. We talked about your book last week a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more. But I'm calling you about the process. T.P. McKinney stuff that you
okay,
know. This
can
stuff.
I know who T.P. McKinney is.
Yeah. Please do it. I want to know. You know, that is some good solid stuff, and it weighs me. It sways me, and I'm swayed in all directions with this process story. So I love it. But I can't agree with anyone, and that's a shame if you don't have something solid where I can agree, because I'm a consumer, a cow by nature. I will definitely chomp along on your grass.
And he did have some photographs of abused animals on her website. Her website is down for the moment. I'm not sure why. She gets a lot of email threats.
Sure, that's a shame.
And it's a very frightening thing, but she did have photographs of abused animals from the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, which is run by the former Process Church.
Sure.
Did you see those photos?
I didn't see the photos. I saw some of her website that was cached in the on Yahoo or whatever. That's why I'm interested in talking with her. The photos I didn't see those, but I've read her stories, and it sounds interesting. And I'm not saying I don't believe her. As a matter of fact, I'm more on that side to believe that stuff after dealing with process members, after dealing with Michael Mountain and the people at Best Friends Network. I'm more apt to believe what she's saying, how they act. But then I wonder if that's not what they want me to do, just based on how smart these folks are and how they act. And I wonder...
Well, you know, I'd just like to say one thing. We're certainly in the marketplace of ideas, where, you know, ideas are bought and sold with money. That's the marketplace of ideas.
Right, that's what book, you know, right.
You know, and...
You mean creating content, writing books, doing radio shows?
I don't have a big problem with earning a living off that.
Me neither. I love it.
I don't have a big problem with people like T.P. McKinney who don't make a living off it, but who step into it and expose something like this. And I'll tell you right now, T.P. McKinney has not gotten one dime off of any of this.
But I don't know that for a fact, and that's why I don't even know
who T.P.
McKinney.
I mean, that's
yeah, I sort of,
so
you can say that, but...
You see someone give her an envelope full of money.
Listen, I don't...
on the take.
No, I don't, but you can say whatever you want, and I'm not saying that you're necessarily wrong. I just said I don't know. I've never been able to talk to T.P. McKinney or do any research on T.P. McKinney.
Well, there's a couple of interviews with her
sure.
on Michael Corbin's radio show.
And they're interesting, and I've listened to them. And I've read her website, and I think it's interesting. I don't know if I necessarily believe... There's a lot of unbelievable stuff, and there's a lot of holes in all this stuff. And I want to fill up the holes. So I'm looking to fill those holes up. And I'm not looking not to fill them up. I'm just telling you what I found, and I haven't found much of nothing. I found some good stories, and they sound great. And I'd
what you're saying is, secondhand testimonies, like Allison O'Connor did in her book Message from Heaven about Father Sean Fortune, secondhand testimonies you don't accept. You have to talk to the people themselves
on everything? Not on everything. I need to research the people, and T.P. McKinney seems to be very elusive like yourself.
Well, you have to understand, when you do this sort of work, like, I get that email death...
Hold on. Let me tell you something. You're talking to someone who has done this stuff for 20 years.
So you know what the threat factor is?
Yeah, and I know people who talk don't do. And I know some simple facts about being a human being and being in this business. So I've gotten death threats from all walks of life throughout my whole career. And the ones I've taken seriously and thought, wow, these are incredible, are from the white power groups and the racists. When they write you, a lot of the skinheads will sign their full name and put a social security number under it. And it is scary to get those. And I do wonder when it's going to happen or if it happens ever. But it doesn't stop me from putting my name on things that I say.
Well,
it doesn't stop
me either, but
well,
it might stop a woman who lives alone.
It might, but it shouldn't. If she started it, end it. Let's do this. You got people listening, and then you back away? I wonder why.
Because of threats.
Yeah, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough. I mean, I just don't... I'm not that personality. I can't understand that. I'm involved in stuff where I would put my... I guess that's a smart way to do things, self-preservation and all, but she spouts a different political link or a different religious kink, and when she says those things, and then she doesn't back it up by being militant. Practically militant. I mean, she puts out facts and then she runs. And that's why I'm skeptical of this. And all I am is skeptical.
That's a fair skepticism.
It is.
And, like, I wish you had taken a fuller look at her site before it went down, which, by the way, I'm looking into why it went down.
I read it. I read a lot of her site. I like what she's saying.
Yeah,
I agree with Michael Corbin and that whole radio show and that whole syndicate of folks that are talking when they say that Rocky Mountain News is full of shit. When I read that article, it was a piece of shit, too. So I'm not going to sit there and say I thought that was a good article, and I think your book is empty. I thought that article was as empty as your book. Or T.P. McKinney saying, basically, it's a great story, and you have a great read. And so, hello?
Hello.
Oh, and T.P. McKinney has this great read. And it's a good story, and I'm listening, man. I'm here listening. And then when I ask questions, I can't get anywhere.
Could I just... say that, like, for now you might have to suspend judgment until people give you more hard sources.
Yeah, but
I intend to do in that film with Danny Schacht.
Well, I'd like to see that. Truly, I would. But I think you'll still... You know what I'm willing to bet? I'm willing to bet the farm that we get on the phone, we have the same kind of goddamn conversation, because that's part of the entertainment of this whole hustle. That's part of the shits. You can't shit a shitter, dude, and that's basically what I'm saying between me and you. And I'm not going to be shit by all this stuff. I think everyone's bullshit. From the process to you, I don't think anyone's different. I think they're all giving a line and selling their, getting better subscriptions, selling books, getting members, getting donations, whatever it is that you do. And TP McKinney.
Don't make donations.
Well, right, you sell books. McKinney. You sell books. I'm just saying, all these people...
Stephen McKinney doesn't make a dime.
But I don't know that. You can say that all you want.
I'm not selling a product or a service.
But I don't know if she's being paid from you. I don't know who she's being paid from. She could be a shill for the church. She could be a shill...
Hey, Boston Globe,
you know what's
news,
funny?
Write articles that I cite, that I directly quote in my book.
What are you talking about, Boston Globe? I'm talking about T.P. McKinney and not knowing if she was paid. I know you're paid, and that's good. I'm happy for you. I think that's great. Nothing wrong with it. But I think T.P. McKinney is probably paid somewhere. I probably would believe that more than I would believe she's not paid. Just like I would believe the Process Church and the Best Friends Network is up to something nefarious when I look into it. I would probably believe that.
So you're
but I'm not
taking sides with anybody.
No, but I'm not pushed in any direction, man. I'm not. I can't see, I do want to see someone solid. And if there was someone out there that was adamant against going after the, for all I know, T.P. McKinney's being paid by the Process Church to cause controversy, just like the Catholic Church is causing controversy with ass rape, and they're getting more donations or helping out their fund. I don't know. I'm not their accountant.
They're going bankrupt.
They can say whatever they want. Yeah, that's what they say. People say that all the time.
They're closing churches right in my city here.
Well, so what? Everyone's downsizing. That's how it is, man. They're also selling real estate.
They had to pay off millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're also paying off millions of dollars with this prime real estate they sat on and haven't been taxed for in forever. They're a great, they're a strong business.
They give it to the victim.
Yeah.
They're not keeping it, which as well they should.
Or they sold it, they gave it to people that are actually helping them up their donations because they're a dead religion for years. And these priests, the biggest crime of, you know, how many percent did you say of the ass rapers in your book?
I think it's like 1 to 2.
Yeah, 1 to 2%. Well, they're the ones probably doing the least to the church, where the other 98 are just raping them of money like it's like a goddamn hole in the dam.
Well, I mean, you certainly need money to run any organization.
Right. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with that, but that's what it is. It's an organization. It's a business. You know, they're not getting taxed. They've got it made. They've got it made. They're never going to go out of business. The religions aren't going to go out of business. That's just like gambling or drugs or hookers. They'll never go out of business.
So it's the opiate of the masses.
Yeah.
Okay.
From TV, all that shit. They'll never go out of business, man.
Well, could that be because people just have religious inclinations by nature?
No, it's just because most people. It's just because most people are dregs.
You know, I mean, even other religions like Hinduism. And
you know, there's a reason people are elite, and it's because they're few and far between, like yourself. You're part of an elite breed of people that's hustling the masses and selling them books, man. And that's cool.
So who are the only, like people that are any good? Homeless people or...
No, they're disgusting. Urchins, I mean, the good people are the doers. The good people are the non-obedient, the non-believers, like yourself, the non-obedient. The people that go against.
Well, certainly. My book is against my own truth.
Right! And you're making money on it, and that's good. Now let's talk T.P. McKinney and how T.P. McKinney puts facts out there and doesn't stand behind him. Or other people that have put these facts out there. And I want
T.P. McKinney, I will have to concede for the moment because her site is down.
How about, what do you think of Adam Gorightly? I'm going to talk to him on Monday, and I think a lot of his book, I'm looking into it, and I think Death Cults is great. I read this, he's got this zine out or whatever you want to call it, a little mini from WingTV.net, Syphilis Press. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen that. I did hear about his book, though.
Yeah, it's a really solid thing and a really interesting read. And he has people written down as sources, and I want to research them and go after it, but a lot of it is empty. There's holes in it. And the stuff that I really want proof of, it's a lot of holes.
Well, you must admit that where my argument in my preface, you know, I was very upfront about the sources I could not reveal.
Sure, in your book, Lucifer's Lodge,
yes,
at luciferlodge.net.
Right. And you must admit that, you know, I'm upfront about the five or six people who asked me not to use their
sure.
name. You know, I said that right at the beginning.
Do you have anyone in there that asked you to use their name or let you use their name?
Well, most of the names I have, most of my research,
right.
as I said,
from Boston from, Globe or whatever.
Right. And yes,
but I'm asking if you have names that you interviewed, you from their mouth to your ear hole, something like that. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, I talked to the director of SNAP, who was also on Michael Corbin's show.
What's the director of SNAP?
SNAP is an organization called Survivors of Those Abused by Priests, and it's a victims group who, by the way, is having a whole seminar on ritual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church.
Okay.
They have their premier victim group. It's called SNAP, S-N-A-P.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Process Church.
Sure.
Because I want to stick on that because we're running out of time.
Sure.
You know, we had you on last week, so people should go back and listen to that show.
Sure.
We're talking about your book, and a lot of this is a little off subject of your book.
You say it's fiction, I say it's nonfiction.
You know, we should go on the road with that song.
That's
you know, like
good.
You say tomato, I say we can go on the road with this. We can have a whole act. No.
Like G. Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary.
I like it. but we're a little off subject, and I really want to ask
sure.
you more about the Process
okay,
Church.
What
and
would
this
you
is
like to know?
Well. I want to know. You know the craziest thing. I guess I don't see real big deal in a lot of their beliefs or what they're doing now at the Best Friends Network. I don't see a lot of. I see a lot of their history being nefarious, and especially the greatest conspiracy I hear is the whole Son of Sam thing, which really interests me. But Maury Terry, the good thing he has an interview with a lunatic. So right away when you're a lunatic, I discredit you. It's like no good witness. It's not like, a child interviewing a molestation case. It's no good. They're children. They're like monkeys. They're to be molded like clay. And so I can't really take credit in that. So I don't.
So no testimony from any survivor of priest abuse is valid in your book?
I didn't say survivor of priest abuse. It depends on their age and the circumstance. I'd have to look into each. That's like a very case-specific thing. Sure, so you do in your book, and I do agree with a lot of that, but I don't see it as being a part of the Catholic Church or being satanic or anything like you say. I see it as just being a criminal act, and that's what I say. I believe what you're saying in your book could be true, and I'm not going to sit there and say the big conspiracy is you're making up stories. Hold on. I'm not saying you're making up stories about all of these abuses and great stories, because you don't have to. You read the paper every day, you hear about people getting the life choked
that's
out of them.
Where my sources is from.
Yeah, so that's solid, man. I believe that stuff. I just don't believe the names that are attached to them, like this Catholic Church, a satanic. I think it's just a criminal doing a criminal thing, a deviant, a warped mind, someone that's fucking got a screw loose, whatever you want to call. You know, then we can go into politics. Do we put them to death?
What happens when these people are organized?
Do we put them to death, or do we put them in a rubber room?
Well, I mean, what happens when they're organized and they're
smarter than they're smarter than the average criminal? That's what happens. That's what they are. An organized criminal is smarter than the unorganized, desperate criminal. Like in my neighborhood, the child molesters that live here, they're not organized. They're desperate. They're poor. But they're crazy, and they do it, and they don't get away with it so often as the organized ones. Just like in crime, the organized criminals make fucking millions and billions of dollars off of Vegas, off of fucking whorehouses. Where the guys, the small guy running his girlfriend out of the pickup truck in the train parking lot, well, he's not going to make millions of dollars. He's going to be lucky to make a couple thousand dollars before the lady leaves him or starts working for less. And you know, it's just the way it is, dude.
Well, I mean, I just. As someone, all I'm doing is chronicling what you're talking about.
Right.
The Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
I mean, should I ignore the fact that Father Sean Fortune and molested children?
No.
Threatened his detractors with saying Satan would haunt them? Do I not report on that?
I'm just saying it's not.
Give the full story?
No, you should do all of it. I love it. It's an interesting story. I'm just saying I don't see a lot in there that makes me believe it as fact. It's a good read. I can see where you're coming from. I can believe some things. I believe some things. I don't. There's nothing pushing me.
No,
that's not true. That's not with everything I read. Some things I believe strongly. I say, man, the evidence points to Scott Peterson killing his bitch, and I believe that. I believe there's a lot of evidence that points in certain things. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. There's a lot of physical evidence. And those things I can add up in my head and go, wow, that's a clear, decisive answer. And then there's some things where the equation gets blurry. There's numbers missing. Now it's not so clear, man. And that's what I'm saying with a lot of stuff I'm seeing about the Process Church. And I hate to even say that because I think they don't seem that smart to me. I mean, they do, but at the same time, I gotta say that if they're all that you say they are, I don't know.
Well, all I'll say is that, you know, I have over 40 or 50 references after each chapter, and people are certainly willing. The brunt of my book, as I said, 99.9% of it, mm-hmm. is from mainstream media sources, how you want to take them as your business.
Sure, sure.
You know, the 0.01% that people ask me not to use their name, you know, you can, I guess I'll just have to say you'll have to take that and leave it as you will, or someone like T.P. McKinney, if you don't know her real identity, which she won't give out, then you certainly don't have to accept that.
Well, I don't even need a real identity. I need her to man the phones, get on the interviews, practice her, practice her voodoo right here. I need her to man her message boards and emails and respond to questions that are legitimate questions. That's all I'm asking, is to be treated like a human being when I put the goddamn, invest the goddamn time in her website and reading her story, that she puts the time into backing up what she's saying. I don't need a real name. And I can understand people hiding from if these people are really what they are. And man, dude, I got really spooked out about a lot of the stuff. Me and my, you know, I do get bored. And the thing that bothers me is I can see these being organized and a rich, elite group of people that are just so wealthy, they're bored. But I don't see it as being anything but deviants and criminals and then a criminal mind. Nothing more than like a Leopold and Loeb.
I no more say in my book that everyone in the Process Church is a criminal than I say every Catholic is a criminal.
Well,
I don't say that every Satanist is a criminal.
Well, I know you have disclaimers because you have to watch your ass, and that's another thing that bothers me.
I have disclaimers because I believe the vast majority of Satanists in this country are harmless dabblers.
Well,
that seems to be the impression.
Whatever.
I guess.
I just think that that's. That's not needed to be said. It's you don't need a disclaimer if you
I certainly do.
Why?
In the same
way,
a disclaimer against. I also said that the vast majority of Catholic priests are not guilty of pedophilia.
I don't believe you need a disclaimer. You're not. I guess
I made a disclaimer about my own church too. I said most of the priests.
Who cares?
Are not child molesters.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, though.
But in the world, I think that's very important.
I think that takes away from your story.
No,
I think
that's just a hard fact of the matter. I'm giving out statistics.
No, you're giving out your
2%, according to the American Conference of Bishops, of Catholic priests have been involved with pedophilia, and some of them have been involved with forms of ritual abuse.
Well,
I don't think there's anything wrong about writing and reporting about that and drawing from solid sources.
Well, here's the thing. There's the difference between writing and doing what you're doing, a non-fiction or fictional account, but there's a difference between breaking a story and having facts. And not having to put a disclaimer, man. You know what? When you break a goddamn news story about a politician getting fucking caught raping some lady, they don't need to put a disclaimer saying, I don't think all politicians rape people in the ass.
But when you mention a crime as hideous as child molestation, you must, in fact, clarify the groups you are targeting and what they're doing. And, of course, you must say something like the vast majority of Catholic priests are not molested and the vast majority of Satanists are not molested.
Listen.
Because that's just a common courtesy.
No, it's just because you're so... It's just because your stuff is so broad. It's so broad and, I forget the word you used, but, half. Half. You gotta... You know what? Here's all this stuff. Please don't sue me. And,
I didn't say anything about a lawsuit in my book.
You put a disclaimer in there.
Making things up.
Well, you put a disclaimer in there,
not a disclaimer.
Oh,
that
goodness.
Was a clarification.
Have you ever spoke with Ed Sanders or Maury Terry?
No, I've never spoken with them directly. I've heard them on internet radio stuff.
So nothing, no one even like that.
Yeah. I've read their books.
Okay.
I've never communicated with either of those men in any way.
Did you ever check any of the facts in any of your stuff, like check out their sources, see if they even exist? Have you ever researched any of that or spoke to any of their sources or any sources from any of the stuff that you pulled?
You mean concerning the Process Church?
Yes, or concerning basically anything you wrote, but yeah, mainly the Process Church. I mean, that's why I called you. And you're not giving me anything.
Well, no, I also went to like the Religious Tolerance Organization, which is up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of the source for my stuff on the Process Church. The history of the Process Church is from the Religious Tolerance Organization, which also has says the same thing I did, that, you know, Satanists should be left alone.
I don't care about that. Who cares?
Well, I'm saying, you're asking me what my source is. It's the Religious Tolerance Organization of Canada.
That's what I'm asking you. I don't care about their beliefs about Satanists. Who gives a shit?
Process Church of the Final Judgment. The main source of my article in there is from the Religious Tolerance Organization.
Yeah, I think, you know...
And they're considered a valid, good source.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you, if you don't want to accept any sources...
I didn't say that. That's not what I'm saying. You're the one putting words in my mouth. I don't know who your source is. I have to check them out. That's what I'm saying. You can keep fluffing this for a million hours and selling 20 more books every time.
Book right there, just... It's right there. It's a religious tolerance.
I'm asking if you checked any of your sources, because I am going to check your sources. I'm going to check everyone's sources, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Sure.
I tell you that.
Sure.
You know, me and the gentleman working with me on the process material and on this stuff, we will get to the bottom of who this is and what's going on. It's not that hard. And we are going to be up everyone's ass with a microscope.
Now, may I ask, did you know that the Process Church ran the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary before T.P. McKinney came forward? Did you realize that?
No. But that's irrelevant. I don't know who T.P. McKinney is. Yeah, so what?
Well, she certainly brought something to your attention that's vastly important on a subject you're interested in.
Well, not really T.P. McKinney. It was just...
She knew the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary was the process.
That's wonderful. But she's not backing up anything she said.
Okay, she did back up she showed the document that the process...
You know what?
If
there was a story to be broken, it would be broken. The story that was broken is lame, and that's because it has to be, because they have lawyers.
The fact,
you know what? That's what I'm saying.
If they're taking money from celebrities in Hollywood and they're really a Satanist church posing as an animal organization, isn't a revelation to you?
Listen.
T.P. McKinney's very heroic.
If there were facts to back this stuff up, people would be all over it. The media, are you telling me there's a big...
An interview with Mountain, who was a
Project
member and Best Friends member.
Who did?
And he admits.
Who did?
I think it was the Rocky Mountain...
Yeah, it's a garbage article.
Well, you don't believe that they talked to Mountain? Who
I do. I do believe that, but I don't care. There's nothing there.
So you want to know about the Process Church of the Final Judgment, and you're not impressed by the fact that someone came forward and actually showed who and where they are at the
moment? I don't know if it's anything more than a bad business deal. Their political or religious beliefs.
Okay, but just the simple fact that you know that they are the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Yeah, and the Process Church. Anything I've read that's out in the open that the Process Church has said or put into print, I don't have a problem with. The speculations of animal abuse, I do. The speculations of other things, I do have a problem with.
Do you know they ran an animal sanctuary, the Process Church, the Best Friends Animal?
Yes, yes, I do know that. Listen to what...
Did you know that before T.P. McKinney?
I've already answered that. You're not talking about what I'm talking about now. We're going backwards. I'm telling you right now, listen...
She has helped you very much with your research.
No, listen.
So you would have found that out.
Oh, goodness. What the fuck, dude? I don't care about that. What I care about is I don't give a shit about what she said. There's nothing there. Listen to what I'm saying and quit going backwards and trying to run this into circular logic or circular conversation. What I'm saying is the interesting things that I do find, wow, I want to know more. The cloning, all that other bullshit that people like yourself or like T.P. McKinney have issue with, I don't. I don't have issue with that. The rapes, the dog murders, the animal abuse, I do have issues with. And I can't find any solid proof against them. Barely any. I hear conjecture from your end. I hear conjecture. I hear speculation. But the facts... Wait, hold on. Let me finish here, and then you can go wild. The sources that I'm checking into run into dead ends. I can't hear it from... I don't have anything solid. And that's what my problem is with it. It's not what she's saying that I have a problem with. It's not being able to find anything solid on the few interesting points that I personally have a problem with. I'm not you. I'm not her. I don't have a problem with the things that you folks might have problems with. I don't have a problem with their fascism necessarily, or their cloning. I don't have a problem with a lot of stuff that I've heard them write about. So you picking on that issue is your personal fetish or politics or religion or whatever you want to call it. I'm not into that. But I can talk about, I'm interested in criminals, criminal mind, criminal intent. I'm interested in criminals being brought to justice, for sure. But I don't see any solid evidence in criminal activity or anything like that with them. I see a lot of good stories.
I didn't say they were involved in any criminal activity.
Right, but the animal abuse, the ritual abuse.
T.P. McKinney said that.
Right. And that's what we're talking about here is T.P. McKinney. I'm not trying to get you into something in trouble. I understand you've given out disclaimer after disclaimer in your book and on this radio show. But I'm talking about what I'm looking at. I didn't say you specifically. I said the evidence that's been presented to me in any form, in your book, in anything you've written about the Process Church, anything that Adam Go-Rightly wrote, I don't see. Well, he has some evidence, and he has some interesting stuff. But I don't, you know, it's, and so does T.P. McKinney, but it's...
What about Gary Lachman? Do you like his stuff on the Process?
Who's that?
Gary Lachman.
And what stuff? Tell me.
He wrote the definitive article on the Process Church of the Final Judgment.
Where?
Which is the source of my book in the 14 Times.
Uh-huh. In the 14, and what does he say?
Basically, he says...
The same old, same old?
Not really the same old, same old.
The same conspiracy theories I've read over and over again, you're just going to cite something that, you know, is the same stuff?
Actually, he stops when Robert Mordick Grimson disappeared in Boston.
Right, but I've read your stuff on that person, and I don't see a lot of solid stuff, but they ran in the same circles, and as you said, the stuff you have from that person isn't really tying them into any criminal activity. Proof positive.
I never said that. The point of
right, you never said that, but you're bringing it up in reference to me talking about them being criminals. So you allude to it, but you don't say it. And that's what I'm saying. I want someone to sprout some balls and say it.
What I said.
Say they're criminal. Don't say they're dangerous against your fucking politics. Say they're criminal. Say they deserve to be put away and put in prison for what they're doing.
I'm not saying that one thing.
Right, right.
What I am saying, if you'd like me to tell you how the Process Church fits into my book, is that some of these child molesting priests, from the sources I heard, new Process members in Harvard Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts,
right,
at a couple cafes they used to go to, okay?
Yeah.
Let me just finish what I'm saying. And that some of the things that these priests did mimicked a lot of what the Process Church did. And what I'm saying is they might have been influenced, how I put it is, by process theology and what they were doing.
Big deal. Process was influenced by Scientology. So you might as well say they're Scientologists influencing these priests who probably sell more books.
Well, you know, I do point out that the Process Church is a spinoff of Scientology.
Right, so, but I don't care. Listen, you try to go back to your book to sell books, just give out the website name and quit saying the same old, same old. What I'm saying is the facts in your book that you get from this guy's facts and the guy who got that from this girl's facts, and everyone gets facts from everyone else and jumbles them up in a book, I'm saying they lead to dead ends. And I wish there was more out there about it. I really do. I wish T.P. McKinney would keep going at it. Because I like to see interesting criminal cases brought to justice. I think your book, Lucifer's Lodge, is a great true crime book, and Borderlines, you know, the theories and the concepts you have are fiction to me. But I think there's a lot of solid truth in there, and it's good true crime stories if you're into sexual sadism and perverse people like that. It's a solid book.
In the religion section in Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, big. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're hustling your religious people. They're fools. They donate money to the church. They.
Well, you just don't like books or bookstores, do you?
I love books and bookstores. I love your book. I think it's a good read.
You know?
What?
How do you think they're run? Through money. Like,
but I'm not against money. You keep bringing that up, and I've already told you what I think about it.
I'm just out for a buck, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I don't see there's nothing wrong with that, though. You keep equating that with me saying there's something negative about that. And I don't.
For a buck, I would have gone.
Just because it's in the religious section, I don't care. I think it should be in the true crime section. I don't go with your theory.
I put it in both, man.
Right, you should. I think it should be marketed in the true crime section, really. Two, you should, the great name is on there, and put a nice figure photo on there like it's a mugshot of someone, or that guy with the great priest, the one priest you bring up all the time.
Sean Fortune?
Yeah, put him on the cover, nice photo of him and his big glasses. And it's good. It's good. Good stuff, man. You'll be on A&E before you know it. Bill Curtis will be talking about Lucifer's Lodge.
Well, I couldn't get Bill Curtis, but I did get Danny Schechter.
I know you are a plug master. You are a whore with this book, and I love it. Lucifer'sLodge.net, right?
That's it.
I love you are shilling this book and everything.
You know what?
It's funny. The Process Church. Everything goes back to your book. Everything. Everything goes back to your church.
That's why I came on the show to talk about my book.
Right, but I had questions about the process and other things and P.T. McKinney, and it somehow goes back to, you know, something in your books. I love it. Believe me, you stay on focus. Your focus is your book.
I talked about my book on the Corbin show.
Yeah.
I sell books.
And that's awesome. I love that you sell books. I love the book you're selling. At least the parts I've read.
You just don't like successful writers.
Oh, well, I don't know if you're successful. You live with your mom.
What?
You live with your mom.
Oh, I look after my 77-year-old mom. You would, too, if your mom. She had a stroke, my poor mom, a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd live with her. You know, I got a wife. I get laid on a regular basis, pal.
Gee, I'm glad to hear that. I love this. I love this male bonding, sharing.
Well, I mean, just telling you, I wouldn't be able to do that. Taking over my, you know, I wouldn't do that. I don't think I would.
You
I'd probably a successful writer.
You help your mom.
I would help my mom, but a success.
Hold on.
She had a stroke, partner. I wouldn't do something I'm not qualified to do, and I'd probably afford her a caregiver if I was truly successful.
No one takes care of you like your family.
Don't put words in my mouth. I would come over and give her what I could as far as compassionate support, but as far as taking care of her, I would never pretend to be a professional.
You're a mean person, your own mother.
I would take care of her, but I would take it financially. I'd be successful, and I'd be able to get her a caregiver, you know, a nurse.
Leave her alone with some stranger?
I wouldn't leave her alone. Hold on. Leaving her alone and taking care of her are two different things. You know, I would make sure she's fed. I would be with her. I would be compassionate about this.
You're real kind. You wouldn't look after your own mom if she had a stroke and couldn't take care of her.
Listen, I would get her a caregiver. You're going around in nothingness again.
Gee, if you think this is mom, I mean,
why do you keep saying that? I said I would, but I wouldn't pretend to be a nurse or a caregiver. I am not that. I'm not a caregiver. I would look after my mom, but I would be, as you said, you're a successful writer, and I said, you live with your mom. That's not so successful. And
well,
you say
a man that doesn't take care of his family really can't call himself a man.
Right. True.
Okay.
True.
And you only got one mom and one
I suppose.
Dad. And if you're against taking care of your one mom and one dad when they get old and ill,
no, I'm scared of single dudes who live with their mom and flock around Catholic dudes and Malachi Martin and hang out with Catholic priests that celibate dudes and sort of sound light in their loafers. I'm scared of that stuff. You know, if you were a clown, I'd say, dude, you're one of those scary clowns.
Well,
I think you might be of a scary persuasion, but. You know, I don't know. It's sort of.
Come on, how can you read my character over the phone?
Robert Block wrote this great story about a guy who took care of his mom.
Oh, gee.
You know, my friend.
Psycho.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly, man. Psycho. I wish I had sound effects right now. For you.
Like you'd shove your mom in some nursing home.
No, I didn't say nursing home. If I was like Stephen King, he's a successful writer. He could put his mom up on
some home.
Yeah, sure, man. Sure, he's got a big house because he can afford a big house. He's not living in his mom's house or his dad's house where his dad broke his fucking balls. What'd your dad do for a living?
My dad was a state representative here in Massachusetts.
A politician. So do you have a good trust fund? Are you a trust fund kid?
Well, you know, I don't get into my personal finances. Let me put it this way.
You're taking care of
money in other ventures than I could at writing books, but I'm doing well at writing books.
You're taken care of. Your bills are paid.
I take care, you know.
Uh-huh. Don't make me look. Let me get the microscope out on you and do a book about you and how you're, you know. Well, not a book, just like a small little article, you know, for the internet free.
Sure, how I help my mom and.
Yeah, and how you're taking care of your rich kid playing circus, you know, writing books like this. It's good stuff, though. When are we going on the road, huh?
I'm telling you, we can do the G. Gordon Liddy, Timothy Leary show.
Oh, man, I'm with you, bro.
Well, I'll just say one thing.
Lucifer's Lodge.net. It's a good true crime book.
Man.
It's mixed true crime and then
I'll give you a
fiction.
Barnum quote. Let people look at it, examine it, and make up their own minds. That's directly from P.T.
Exactly.
Like that.
I love it. I love. Say that again. Wait. Let's do a commercial here.
Lucifer's logs got nuts.
Go ahead. Give me that quote.
The evil truth about Satanism in our day.
Give me that great quote from P.T. Barnum, my brother.
Read it, study the evidence, and make up your own mind. $21.95 plus shipping and handling.
And that's P.T. Barnum saying, read it, study it, and make up your own mind. Is that the P.T. Barnum quote you're alleging?
Yes. That's kind of a paraphrase, because that was the case of his mermaid lady.
Uh-huh.
Because Professor Agassiz at Harvard wrote an article debunking his mermaid.
Right. I read it.
He just twisted that around.
Of course.
Barnum and used it as an advertising thing and said, well, I think people should come down and make up their own minds.
And you know what? What you just said about the mermaid, I'm going to edit it out and put Lucifer's Lodge in there. And they brought it down and debunked Lucifer's Lodge, but he twisted it around anyway. I love talking to you, man. I hope to talk to you again.
Okay, sure.
The show's over. I'm going to turn this tape recorder off, and it's been a blast. Lucifer'sLodge.net, William H. Kennedy with two N's, .com?
.net.
Okay, and
you're... It's WilliamHKennedy.com, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's Lucifer'sLodge.net.
Okay, so there's the website. It's a real interesting book, true crime slash fiction, as far as I see it.
Okay, very good. And I shall return.
Yeah, I hope so, man. And
I will fill the airways of Radio Free Satan and other such great networks.
Excellent, man. Let me turn this off.
Sure.
In the late summer of 77, David Berkowitz was a gruesome celebrity without peer, claiming a dog had ordered him to kill. He still seemed under some demonic influence when he showed up in court.
It was evident he was still agitated, wild-eyed, in handcuffs. And then he stunned the court, shouting repeatedly, Stacy was a whore, I'd kill her again.
Columnist Jimmy Breslin was there.
And you saw him. It was the devil, no question about it. He was roaring.
Did you think he was a devil?
I don't know what he was. No, but you saw the devil there.
But 20 years later, David Berkowitz wants you to believe that it's not the devil who commands him anymore. He says he is a born-again Christian now, counseling his fellow inmates on the ways of the good book.
It says in the Bible that to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It also says that there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak, and this is my time to speak.
Berkowitz had never wavered from his original confession. That confession became the official account of the Son of Sam shootings. But then Berkowitz changed his story. He declined to speak to Dateline, but in 1997, he spoke with someone who he had been in contact with for years, a dogged journalist with his own near obsession with the Son of Sam case. Around the time David Berkowitz began serving his life sentence, Maury Terry began devoting his life to the Son of Sam case. He wrote a 500-page book outlining a theory of a vast conspiracy that reaches from coast to coast, connecting social outcasts with the politically powerful. Some of Terry's claims may seem outlandish, but what of the core of his theory? That David Berkowitz did not act alone and did not shoot all of the Son of Sam victims. What of this? It's a question Berkowitz had a chilling answer for back in 1997.
The shooting of Stacy Moskowitz and blinding of Robert Violante, was that you?
No.
He had called Stacy Moskowitz a whore in court back in 1977. Now he said that her killing was a team effort and that he was a minor player. He claimed he was a lookout, not the trigger man, one of many, part of a group of Son of Sam killers, a group he first came in contact with 2 years before the Son of Sam crimes.
I had gone to a party in the neighborhood, and I met some interesting people there.
Interesting, Berkowitz claimed, because they were into Satanism.
We began to talk about the occult that just came up.
He said he would go with the group to a park in Yonkers, Untermeyer Park.
And there'd be people getting high and going through some rituals. They were into the occult. I met some people there who said that they were witches. There were animal sacrifices and other dark and ugly things happening.
He said he got caught up in the rituals. The group, he said, began to take over his very soul.
It was a recruitment process, a slow but methodical recruitment process.
But Berkowitz said it was about more than animal sacrifice.
They were into child pornography, and there was other people that were into that thing, you know, where they wanted that, and they would provide that.
Producing child pornography, is that what you're saying? And providing children?
Yeah.
Some members of the group, according to Berkowitz, were plotting ritualistic murder, human sacrifices to the devil, which is what this born-again Christian was now saying the Son of Sam killings were all about.
They were working with Satan to try to bring in a lot of chaos.
Are you telling me that one of those attempts at bringing on chaos was the Son of Sam murders?
Well, yes, definitely.
Definitely, he says. But is there anything definite about this seemingly outlandish story? Any facts or recollections that might support the theory of a 20-year-old satanic conspiracy as an explanation for the Son of Sam murders? Well, listen to this ex-New York City detective.
We got word that there was some really weird stuff going on.
James Rothstein worked in a vice unit in Manhattan. He recalls leads he picked up years before the Son of Sam killings, a nefarious ring involved in pedophilia and child pornography.
We got information that children were being used, and in particular, there was something strange going on in Van Cortlandt Park and Untermeyer Park.
Untermeyer Park in Yonkers, the same place Berkowitz said the group he ran with was centered. There, Rothstein says, he first found evidence of animal sacrifice.
And it came down that somebody was murdering German shepherds.
Could this have been the boardroom of the Son of Sam conspirators, the place where they planned their brutal crimes?
And here was this building that had all these satanic ritualistic drawings and stuff like that, so I had a pretty good idea. I was looking at some type of occult activity.
Rothstein found this bizarre place 5 years before the first Son of Sam shootings. Reports of satanic activity offer a possible motive for the Son of Sam killings. A motive. That's something that the NYPD has never come up with, even though they arrested Berkowitz. Cult activity also suggests the possibility of a murder conspiracy, something Maury Terry says there was already evidence for.
Makes a hell of a lot more sense than thinking some guy listened to a talking dog and went out and shot people. It's ridiculous.
David Berkowitz does admit to being a part of all 8 shootings.
I was there at all of them in the scouting, and I'm responsible for my involvement in those things, and, you know, definitely guilty.
And Maury Terry says the case for a conspiracy really takes off with a closer look at the Son of Sam's last stand, July 31st, 1977, the shooting of Stacy Moskowitz and Robert Violante, where you'll recall, according to Berkowitz's new version of events, he said he did not pull the trigger.
The shooting of Stacy Moskowitz, was that you?
Terry took us back to the scene of the Moskowitz-Violante shooting.
This is it, the final act. The car right there.
Remember, in one of the cars was eyewitness Tommy Zeno.
Zeno gave the police a tremendous description of the shooter.
A description that would not suggest the pudgy, dark, curly-haired David Berkowitz. Zeno's statement produced this police sketch. It was not released to the public at the time, and few have ever seen it until now. Witnesses also described different automobiles at the scene, including a description of a getaway driver in a yellow Volkswagen. Remember, because of those witnesses, police had been looking for a yellow VW. Yet Berkowitz owned a Ford Galaxy. Was he aware of other cars?
The shooter escaped in that yellow VW?
He drove off.
Berkowitz diagrammed his escape route for Terry, and he claimed the routes of his accomplices.
The guy ran up this way, then got in his car over there. And I had already left the scene, went that way, and drove off a while before.
Did Berkowitz name these accomplices? Some of them, reluctantly. More on that in a moment. But Maury Terry says if you want names, all you have to do is look at the Son of Sam's letter to Jimmy Breslin.
The letter is loaded with clues.
Terry says the NYPD dismissed much of the letter as the lunatic ravings of a lone killer. But he says some names mentioned in the writings point to real people, like this one, John Wheaties.
Well, John Carr's nickname was Wheaties.
John Carr lived in a house right behind David Berkowitz's apartment. John Carr's father, a man named Sam. New York police had an explanation for this. Berkowitz had allegedly been obsessed with the Carr's dog and may even have shot the animal. But Terry says there's a lot more to it.
There's no way
that David Berkowitz did all the shootings.
Even a man who took a Son of Sam bullet, Carl DeNiro, agrees.
I personally think it was a cult. I don't know that for a fact, but I am convinced, that, and no one can unconvince me, that more than one person was involved.
And as for columnist and Son of Sam pen pal Jimmy Breslin, he's heard it all before and doesn't buy any of it.
Had to be him.
Had to. Was him, not had to. Was.
And it's not just Jimmy Breslin. A former FBI profiler who spent hours interviewing Berkowitz told us he was convinced Berkowitz acted alone, was an introverted loner, not capable of being involved in group activity. The case in Yonkers has never been brought before a grand jury. The New York City police would not comment on any aspect of the Son of Sam case, but have never wavered from their belief that a lone gunman was the Son of Sam. Berkowitz, in his 1997 interview with Maury Terry, seemed to shine a light on Terry's conspiracy theory. But he declined to elaborate on his allegations and would not grant an interview to Dateline. So we're left with these last on-camera words from David Berkowitz.
It was a time of foolishness for me, a time of spiritual darkness, a time of a lot of confusion.